League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to another episode of Girls Know Nothing. Today in the studio, I have Callie, the TikTok sluzzer. I feel like you don't need an introduction, but feel free to introduce yourself.
I am Callie, yeah, the TikTok sluzzer. I'm known for talking about my vagina a lot and how much I love a good shag.
Don't beat around the bush, will you, eh? No, so I think one of the things that there's a lot of things I wanted to talk to you about, but you know, when we were talking off camera about Patricia Hobart in Pitch Perfect when she plays the character Fat Amy, mm-hmm. and people ask her, why do you call yourself Fat Amy? And she says, well, if I call myself fat, then no one can use it as a way to offend me. Is that why you call yourself the sluzzer?
Yeah, 100%. It's like, I'm just going to own it and put it out there. Like, people are going to call me a slut, and I don't really like that name. Like, I feel like a sluzzer is an empowered slut, you know? Like, I don't... But, you know, just because I just don't want people to take the piss out of me, so I just take the piss out of myself first. Yeah, definitely.
But is it the fact that, do you actually think you're a sluzzer, or is it just because of the way society makes you think that you're a sluzzer?
Oh, it's definitely the way that society makes me feel. I feel like when I started making TikToks about having loads of sex and stuff, the amount of girls that message me on a daily basis, they're like, you make me proud to be a woman. I can't believe you're just so I am you, but I'm scared to be you, and talk about sex. And I was just shocked. I was like, that shouldn't be a thing. Like, you should just be able to enjoy sex and have sex, and there shouldn't be a stigma around it.
Yeah, I think it's really weird. So I follow and have mutual friends with people that are sex educators and relationship coaches and give out relationship advice. And I spoke to them about our episode and kind of what things that they think would be beneficial to talk about. And I remember saying to them that I felt let down because my parents are very strict, and my mum comes from a very religious family. Mm. They don't want to talk about sex, but then I didn't get sex education properly from school. And then there's that stigma around women talking about sex. So then who do you talk to? I wasn't a kid when TikTok was around. So who do you talk about sex with? So I guess in that sense, you are very empowering to a lot of young women.
Oh, thank you.
Do you find that a bit weird?
Yeah, because I just feel like I've always just been like this. And it's just I find it weird and very surreal that young girls are I find you empowering just for me being me. And then it made me start to realise there is a real problem with, the way that girls are brought up around sex and what we're taught. You know, even sex education at school, all we're taught about really is periods and how to put a condom on. We're not taught about, where the clit is or how to pleasure yourself and things like that. Whereas I know for a fact the boys sitting in the other classroom were learning what masturbation was and things like that. Girls weren't really taught that. So yeah, it is a weird thing for girls to call me empowering because I just feel like I'm being me, and I didn't realise there was that problem,
I mean, I went to an all-girls school, so I didn't even realise that boys were being taught about masturbation in sex education. I remember being given a blue penis and a pack of condoms and being here you go.
Yeah.
Off you go. Mm. And that's it. And then obviously being in an all-girls school, the chances of every single person in my class being heterosexual or ever coming across a penis is probably quite low. Mm. There was a lot of girls that came out as bisexual, as gay, but then what do they do?
Yeah, exactly. No, and that's what I mean. Remember when I was younger, I remember when I started my period, I was really confused because I didn't know where the blood came out from, and I didn't realise that we had two vagina holes. And I remember starting to feel my vagina and around there, and I didn't even know that there was one big hole and one small hole, for we, I guess.
Yeah, it's really weird because I feel like a lot of people still don't know that.
Yeah.
And I learned that when I was 20.
Really?
Yeah, when I lost my virginity when I was a lot younger.
Yeah.
So the fact that I've already started being sexually active, but I had no idea about my own anatomy that I've been living with since the day I was born, is quite worrying. But then,
I had the same thing. I lost my virginity quite young, but I didn't think that the penis went into a hole. I just thought that it slid in. like just rubbed on top of the vagina. Like, I didn't think it went inside, which is so mind. So when I first went to go and have sex, I was like, oh my God, something's broken. Like, something's broken. It's not supposed to be like this. And then it felt quite nice. So, but that's like so stupid. Like, we should properly learn that in school and maybe at a younger age. I don't know.
That kind of blows my mind that you thought that.
Yeah.
Because in my head, it's like common sense to know that it goes in.
I don't know why. I think it's because, like, I don't know, like, I honestly don't know. I just really thought it was like a hot dog and
and a bun.
Yeah. Like,
oh my God. Okay. I mean, like, it's really weird, like, learning about women's anatomy, because also I did triple science, and like in biology you don't even really learn that much about it. And I mean, we talked about a lot briefly while we were waiting to like start this episode, and one of the things we spoke about, because I follow you on TikTok, I watch your TikToks as well, and related to the one about binning feminine hygiene products, because they gave you BV basically. And it took ages for me to realize that it was that was giving me BV as well. And so like, do you think it was the pressure of other people like being sexually active that made you feel like you needed to use a product like that in the first place?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, I think there's that whole joke about like women's vaginas being fishy, and I was just so nervous for like, if I stopped, like for it to smell, even though natural vagina doesn't smell at all. Like, it doesn't smell of anything. It doesn't really even taste of anything. But yeah, so I used that product like religiously. And then when I got BV, I'd carry on using, I'd use it more and more and more. And then I realized like from TikTok, like, that actually it was giving me BV and like thrush and things like that. But it just throws off your pH so much in your vagina. Like, it's awful. And the way that it's marketed, like, I was thinking, surely like it's going to help me. Like, how can this be on the shelves if it's going to make it worse?
It's weird because I saw a lot of comments from people being like, you learn more from TikTok than you do from school. And like, that's also something that I learned from TikTok, because like you said, you think you... when you have BV, obviously, like, there's a reaction in your body. So something doesn't feel right. So then you think, oh, you need to use it more. And you're actually just making it worse. And I think it's like one thing that I think when you're being sexually active, especially with someone who has a penis, they automatically, like, because they use fairy liquid on theirs, basically. Yeah. So they're like, oh, well, if we can do it on ours, why can't you do it on yours? But obviously, that's the lack of education around female anatomy again.
Exactly. And also, it can, like, a man using, like you say, if you've got a boyfriend or someone that you sleep with regularly, if they're using that soap on their willy, like, and then it goes into your vagina, it's going to throw your pH off as well. Like,
oh,
sometimes,
does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, because I knew there were some things that throw their pH level off. Like, sometimes... I feel so weird talking about it. You know, sometimes I'm trying to think of like nicer ways to talk about it, but you know, sometimes boys' stuff can make it's like really acidic-y or something, and that can also throw your pH levels off. But I didn't know that the soap they used could also do that.
That's happened to me before as well. So it's such a delicate like area that you don't realise, and it's got a lot of maintenance in there.
And it's not cheap.
No.
At all. Like, it's awful. It's awful. But no, I think it's really, like, I find it really helpful that you talk about it, because I'm older than you, and I feel like I'm learning from you.
Aww. I feel like I'm learning along the way, though. Like, I only just stopped using Femfresh, like, and now I'm like, no, that is wrong. Like,
do you know what someone said to me, actually? I went to a sexual health clinic to talk about it, because I thought I'd caught an STI when actually I had BV. And she said that, like, that's when she told me not to use feminine hygiene products. But then she did tell me that if you were adamant about using something on that area, she recommended using E45.
Really?
But like the shower stuff that's non-soapy, because it's the soap that dries you out that causes the weird imbalance. I'm not a doctor, guys, so don't quote me on that. But that's what she basically told me, because she said, don't use anything at all.
Yeah. I think, yeah, when I don't use anything at all, like, it's fine. But I started using these, they're like boric acid suppositories. It's just like a little, it sounds really like scary. But it's just this little gel thing that you just put in there, and it rebalances your pH.
Oh, apparently. Like when you get thrush?
Yeah, but these are like special gel ones for BV. But it just, and I just put it in one night, and the next day, it's fresh as a rose.
Such the weird things that we talk about when sitting in front of a camera. But like, obviously going on from like when I said about having BV, but then thinking I'd caught an STI.
Mm.
Next week is sexual health awareness week, so obviously like this will come out before then, and we briefly had like a bit of a conversation about STIs and catching chlamydia or any STI.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know how
yeah,
you feel.
I somehow it caught up to me. I have never had an STI, and like I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I actually got chlamydia. I couldn't believe it when I got the test. I'm very good at testing, so I caught it early, and I think I know why I even might have caught it from or whatever. And it was just so annoying because you get these super easy to get rid of. Like, don't even be scared about taking the antibiotics. The antibiotics, like most of the time, they will give you thrush, and it gave me thrush.
Brilliant.
I was like, great. Like, so I'm out of action from having sex for 2 weeks, and now it's further, like, I've got thrush. So I'm trying to get rid of that now. But yeah, it was, I was shocked when I got it, because obviously, like, for women, a lot of the time, you don't know that you've got chlamydia until you test, and unless yeah. you've had it for a long time, there's no symptoms. And that's why it's important to test, because if you have chlamydia for too long, it can make you infertile. Like, so I was just happy to like catch it early on. It was the thing of like telling, I remember I was really anxious to like tell people that I'd slept with recently. And once I'd done it, I felt like I could do anything. But I felt fine. Like, it's nothing to be scared about. I think like you just sort of have to think like in the back of your head, like they could pass it on to another woman as well, who
yeah.
could then be like, be left like infertile just because like you didn't pluck up the courage to say anything. You can also like tell the STI clinic to message them like anonymously if people are scared of doing that. So
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, so all STI clinics, there's even free like services just online that will do it even if you didn't do the STI test through them. You just give them the number and it's completely anonymous. They'll just send them a text saying, hey, by the way, someone you slept with recently has just tested positive. You should go get yourself tested.
Because the thing, like, so I've done some work with some STI testing companies and
yeah.
Things like that. And, you know, when you read the stats and statistics as to why people don't, like, especially young people,
yeah.
don't test for any STIs, let alone the four most common ones, is because they are worried about knowing
yeah.
and then telling somebody. But I think that if people know that there is that service available,
100%.
Then it would make, I feel like, you know, it would take that stigma away.
Yeah, exactly. Because you, like, you could have caught it from anyone, they could have caught it from anyone. Like, chances are they're not going to, like, even, chances are they're going to be a bit embarrassed. They're probably not going to even message you and be like, hey, did you give me, have you got chlamydia by any chance? Have you given it to me? Like, they probably won't. So, yeah, it's, I like, a couple of guys, I did send, get them to send a text because I had a bit of a dodgy like breakup with them or whatever. So I was like, yeah, I'll leave a text to them. But I did tell like a guy that I've been sleeping with and he was fine. He was like, oh, it's literally fine. Like, I could have given it to you. So yeah, it's not as bad as you think. I think people are just going to be happy that you've told them.
Yeah, I think I have mad respect for that guy. I don't know who you are, by the way, but like mad respect for him for dealing with it in such a grown-up way.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if a man had phoned a woman and said, by the way, I've got chlamydia, you should get yourself mm-hmm. tested, it would be the expectation, this is my personal opinion, it would be the expectation that she just has to deal with it. Whereas
yeah.
if it was the other way around, I feel like regardless of whether you know which party gave it to who, not that that even matters, it would be like, well, what's she doing
mm-hmm.
that I've now got it?
Exactly, yeah. See, that's what I was worried about. Like, I was so anxious. I was like, oh my God, right, I just need to pluck up the courage, pick up the phone. I was so nervous that they were going to be like, oh, you know, so who have you been sleeping with? Like, what? How have you given this to me? Like, I just think there's this idea that you've done something dirty or like shameful if you've caught it. But it's not like chlamydia is so common and like you can catch it like quite easily and, you know, it's not like I asked to have it, you know, so not like I asked to have it.
But also, you know, if everyone just tested themselves regularly, it wouldn't be so common.
It wouldn't, exactly. And tests are so easy. Like I get mine through the post. Like if you live in London, it's called like Sexual Health London. I just get mine through the post. I don't even have to leave the house. I just do the swab, like the finger prick, send it off in the post. So you don't even have to like go out of your way.
I think actually there's a service that the NHS run that actually do that for majority of the UK.
Oh, really?
They test the four biggest STIs through the post and you'll never have to like go to a clinic. Because I remember like when I was younger and you first like went to go get like contraceptives and stuff, like it felt like a girl's day out after school to go to the sexual health clinic. But then like now as an adult, if you walked into a sexual health clinic, you'd be like, you'd feel embarrassed.
Yeah, I'd be
even
like...
Even though it's not embarrassing at all.
No.
It is, though, when they call your name out really loudly.
Yeah.
And then they ask you in the waiting room in front of everyone what service you want. That's the bit that's a bit awkward, like... And then you have to leave with your little goodie bag.
Yeah, a few condoms, better leave.
Just stuff them in your pockets. But, like, it's weird. And I think, you know, actually, one thing we did talk about as well is that I hate the idea of people not testing.
Yeah.
Because I want to say recently, but I don't feel like it is that recently. A couple of months ago, had a sexual relationship with a person who, after the fact, told me that they'd never tested themselves. Now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. I don't know about you guys, but I personally really struggle with productivity during those autumn and winter months because we are getting far less daylight and the weather is so much colder. And when you're in that mindset, doing simple tasks such as house admin can feel like a real drag. When you're in that mindset, it's actually really tough to break that cycle. And that's where I've been using a therapist to become a better problem solver and making it easier to manage everyday tasks. In situations like this, I really benefit from cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. My therapist and I use very simple techniques in order to be able to retrain my brain to put myself...
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Into that problem-solving mode and help myself to focus more on the positives in my day than the negatives. I have found that these techniques are also really beneficial when it comes to dealing with really low moods or bouts of stress and anxiety. If you've been thinking about giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great solution. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. You can get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey and switch therapists at any time. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/GKN today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/GKN.
That's just awful.
And he couldn't understand why I was angry.
Yeah. It's just awful. It's like, if you knew, he obviously had that in the back of his head and still decided to have sex with you. And he could have told you before, like, by the way, just want you to know, like, haven't really tested.
Or brought condoms.
Or brought condoms, you know, just want, because that is also, you know, like the line of like consent, there's that like, there's that thing of like, before you have sex with someone, you feel like you should know everything, like, and if he has willingly had sex with you and knows that, that's another thing of like, I don't know how to explain it. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it was weird because he turned around to me and said, oh, well, I've only really had X many. I was like, it doesn't matter. I was like, you could literally have lost your virginity and caught something.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter how many sexual partners you've had. You could have had hundreds and never caught anything. You could have two and have caught whatever. And I sat there and had a conversation with him and I was like, why did you not tell me before we had sex? Mm-hmm. You know, the first time we had sex was after a date. We'd had a couple of bottles of wine. It might have just been slipped. You know, that's both of our faults. Mm-hmm. We had slept together since sober. that should have been the point where you said something before that.
Yeah, been like, oh, fuck, I was really drunk last night, by the way.
Yeah, like...
You know, I'm really sorry. Not like, oh, yeah, just haven't really tested ever. Like, you know...
Yeah,
just...
like, that's the mature thing to do.
Yeah.
And then I brought up the fact that... I was brought up the fact that maybe if he knew that, he should have been a bit more wary about wearing something.
Mm.
And then he was like, oh, well, I thought you would have brought them. And it's weird because... like as women or people that have uteruses, you're always conscious about getting pregnant.
Mm.
And like that's the main thought that process that goes through a lot of people's brains. Like that was all he cared about, whether I would get pregnant.
Yeah.
As opposed to whether we would catch anything.
Yeah, like your sexual health. It's just... Yeah, and like there's... He could literally have like herpes, things like that. Like chlamydia is not as bad. Like you can... nip that in the bud, but once you catch herpes, that's like you have that forever now.
Yeah.
Whatever partner you have to tell them. I've got friends that have herpes, and now every partner they get with, they feel really awkward because they have to say before, yeah, by the way, I've got herpes, even though this might just be a one night stand, like we're gonna have to use a condom. And it's just because someone that she slept with wasn't honest with her. So.
And it's weird because then, you know, if you don't know much about it or how you can catch it, because I don't.
Mm.
So if someone said to me, by the way, I've got herpes, I'd be like, I really respect you telling me.
Mm.
But because I don't know anything about it, I'm going to have to like just say no.
Mm.
And it's weird. So like being honest in the first place shouldn't be something people are worried about.
Mm-mm. Because it's just going to get more awkward down the line anyway. Like if you don't tell them then... You know, like your incident. If he didn't tell you then, now it's awkward. Like he stuffed that up now. It's like, bye.
Yeah, literally. I was screaming into my pillow and he didn't understand why I was angry. And I kicked him out and I was like, just leave.
Yeah.
Like, because you've obviously, you think you've respected me enough by having consensual sex with me, but you've not respected me enough to tell me or to feel like you should have said something to me before we got to this point.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And even, yeah, him saying like, oh, I thought you would have bought the condoms. Like, it's also, he should be carrying them around if he knows that he's not getting tested.
Yeah.
You know?
You're the one with the penis.
Yeah.
You're going on a date with a girl and you're staying at a hotel room. The signs are kind of there. It should be down to both parties to prepare, not just the one who might get pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. And it's also the thing of like, I've got a lot of male friends and they're like, yeah, I'll have sex with them unprotected. Like, and like, I won't even ask if they're on the pill. It's their problem to tell me whether they're on the pill or not. And it's like, what if she's really drunk? Like, what if? Sometimes a lot of people, they just forget to say it, kind of thing. Like, they should always ask, you know?
Yeah.
It's not always our responsibility.
But then it would be your responsibility if somebody got pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
And decided to have a baby.
Mm.
Like, it's down to that person who's carrying the baby to make that decision.
Yeah.
So you should think about if you're ready to father a child or not, then you should think of, like, take those precautionary steps before you have sex. So when it comes to, like, talking about sex and dating, I noticed in your TikTok bio that your TikTok bio says, I have daddy issues. And I take issue with daddy issues.
Mm.
But like for me, it's weird that you'll use another person's behaviour as a slur to somebody that is completely innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also really disrespectful towards women because I've never heard the phrase daddy issues be used towards men when actually like it can swing either way.
Mm-hmm.
But like, have you... Like, how come you have... Is that another Patricia Hobart
situation? It basically is, yeah. Like, I remember... I actually told you this. Like, basically, I was dating this guy years ago. Like, must have been, like, 4 years ago or something now. And he was, like... we were dating and he messages me one day out of the blue. He's like, oh, I can kind of tell, like, that you've probably got daddy issues because your dad died. And I literally gasped. I was like, are you joking? Like... How dare you even say that to me? Like, it's just ridiculous. Because I think back in the day, I used to be a little bit clingy and things like that. And that's what he was trying to refer to. Like, I can tell you've probably got daddy issues by the way that you're acting because your dad died. And it's just like, a lot of people... And, like, it is fun. It's not a funny thing to say, like, you've got daddy issues. But it's another thing of me calling myself a sluzzer. It's just like, it's like generic when... You know, the term daddy issues, I probably do have it, but it's not, it shouldn't be used against me, you know?
Is it just, yeah, do you feel like you're protecting yourself by getting to the punch first and saying it before somebody else?
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
I am baffled at the idea that a man would say that to you on a date.
I know.
Man, you're dating, being like, by the way, I can tell you have daddy issues.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
How did he think that was going to go for him? Like, what did he think was going
to
happen?
Exactly. I just think he was a bit of a prick, to be honest. I think
incel behaviour.
Exactly. Like, and he was just trying, like, I think a lot of guys, they try and like say them, see how far they can take things with you. Because again, like back then I was quite needy and did let men walk over me. And I think a lot of men like seeing how much they can walk over you and how far they can take it and see how much you'll come back. Even I get that now, sometimes recently, and I'm just like I'm not going to let that happen anymore. But yeah.
Do you find that being open about sex and body count and referring to yourself as a sluzzer difficult when it comes to dating?
Oh, 100%. It makes it a lot more difficult because I think it definitely does make it more difficult. But in a sense, it also makes it easier because men will realise kind of what I'm like. They'll see that I'm a very like sexually empowered woman before they get down to the nitty-gritty. Like, I already put all my cards on the table, if that makes sense. And also I think it will take a very emotionally intelligent person to actually like look inwards in me and realise why I'm like that and see it as a positive rather than a negative, and like not objectify me. Like, I'm not just a sexual object. Like, I'm an emotional person, and I enjoy having sex. And that takes a special person to do that, I think. But I think it does make it hard as well, because, you know, sometimes maybe I will meet someone that's a bit like that, but then they'll start to care what their friends think and things like that. But obviously, if I fall in love with someone, I'm not going to start talking about all my old sex stories online, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I'll keep my private life. Like, there's a lot of people I date behind the scenes that I don't even tell their stories or talk about them, because like that is still a private part of me. When they fuck me over, I'll start telling the stories. But until then, like you're saying,
the boundaries are there until you piss me off.
Yeah, exactly.
Then the gloves are coming off.
And then
it's like, it's weird as well, because I know that we've briefly spoken a couple of times about your adult content creation.
Yes.
And it's, you know, you say it's not something you openly publicise as much. Is it because of the stigma that's attached to the platform that you don't publicise it?
I think, well, I don't really like publicise it as much on my TikTok, because they do have a thing against like adult content workers, like sex workers and things like that. I do put it on my Instagram, but I would say I'm not, I love telling people that's what I do, because I love it and I like being like a very sexually liberated person. But there is a stigma around it, and especially when it comes to dating, that it makes it even harder. It makes it harder. But no, I enjoy it. And the thing is, the stigma around it, the main things I get, even before I did, you know, adult content, are just telling stories about myself. A lot of men are like, oh, you know, you're never going to get married, you're never going to have kids. And like, you know, in this world, like, as the fact that I'm sexually, you know, that I love sex, going to make me a bad mother? Like, that, those things do not come hand in hand. How am I going to be a bad wife? How is the way that I love people going to change just because I like to show my private parts online? Like, or tell my old sex stories? Like, that, those two shouldn't come hand in hand, and they don't for me.
Yeah, and I think as well, when you look at people like, for example, like Kim Kardashian, who have had a sex tape, but, you know, no one can criticise her as a mother or as a partner, because, you know, she's very much active in her kids' life. Mm-hmm. And she does her utmost to protect them. And I think she's spoken about, you know, how she'll approach the subject with her kids when they get to that age. But I think, you know, one thing that's going to be beneficial for her children is that she's going to be open to talking about those things with their parents. And I think, I guess, when it comes to having children one day, do you feel like that's going to actually help you be a good mum?
I think it will, yeah. And it'll also, like with Kim Kardashian and kids, she'll be able to bring those kids up to not like, objectify women. They're like, I think people do look at people like sex workers and just objectify them as just a sex object, and that's all that they do. Whereas, my kids, they'll see that I'm more than just like, yeah, showing my private parts online. Like, there's so many different dimensions to people, and that's, you know, you shouldn't objectify people. So yeah, I think it will make me an even better mother than I could be, to be honest.
Do you think you'll ever regret making adult content?
No, I don't think I will. I think that I put so much thought into it before I did it. I wanted to be 100% sure that there was, because there's no going back really. Like, it is out there forever. Like, there's one thing, me making TikToks and talking about sex stories. There's another, me being vulnerable and showing like my whole body online. And I don't think I will ever regret it, no.
Do you find it like this, because I don't know very many people that do adult content creation. Is it liberating in a sense that people respect your body and appreciate it because they're paying for a service? Mm. Or do you find that people are harsher and more critical of your body?
No, I would say I hardly ever get harsh comments at all. I would say it's liberating because people are, you know, they are enjoying my body, and like, you know, they are, like, obviously the money comes into it. But the thing for me before I did it was I didn't want to go in it just because of money, because then I would probably regret it. I wanted to do it because this is a job that I am going to get up every day and enjoy doing. Otherwise, I would regret it. I'd burn out. You know, money isn't everything. I wouldn't care about the money anymore. So I would say it's liberating in that sense, because it's what I love doing.
But I can imagine, like, on the flip side, It's nice to hear that actually people that are like looking at that content are respecting your body and enjoying your body for what you put out there. Obviously, being a TikToker and using TikTok as another platform, do you get a lot of, like, you probably get a lot of stick on there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or like somebody, for example, like, they did subscribe from my TikTok, and like they were like, oh, you're an ugly pig. And I was like, well, you've just given me your money anyway, so...
That's such a weird thing to say.
It's just like, okay, so you've just paid to come on and say that. But yeah, you do just have to be very thick-skinned. Like, I know that I love my body, and there's nothing that anybody can say that is going to make me feel like bad about it. You do have to be very thick-skinned, I think. I get stick every day on TikTok about, you know, stories I tell and things like that. But you just have to remember, I have to just remember that on why I do it, and I find it liberating. Like, I feel actually more confident with my body doing it, like looking at it every day and making myself feel sexy, than I did before.
No, that makes sense. And I think actually, do you know what, when I was younger, I used to be really awkward the first time I would be with somebody. But when you are more sexually liberated, or consider yourself to be sexually liberated, you do feel better in your own body and more confident. And it's like a weird thing, because, like, you know, like, you're showing people bits you might not necessarily like about yourself, but they like that about you.
Yeah, exactly. No, I completely agree. And I think part of me was a bit worried going into it. Like, I really hope that, well, even though I knew I was thick skin, I was like, I really hope this doesn't, you know, like, mentally, like, go the other way. But it really hasn't. Like, I feel great. And I do have a therapist as well, so I think sometimes it just helps, like, speaking to somebody about it every week as well, just to make sure that, like, I'm still on the right track.
Is your bathroom shelf guilty of hoarding too many skincare products that actually do very little? Well, Skin and Me is the personalised skincare solution that is here to break that cycle. Finally, a treatment that is tailored to your specific skincare concerns and that actually works. Not forget to mention, the Daily Doser tube even comes with your name on it. Skin and Me blend scientifically proven active ingredients to deliver your best skin in a single product that is sustainable, vegan, and cruelty-free. Simply take the online consultation, share a couple of filter-free selfies, and the expert dermatology team will tailor a personalized solution.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
That evolves with your skin and targets your skin goals, whether that be acne, pigmentation, or skin aging. In a world of complexity, Skin and Me are demystifying skincare with evidence-based active ingredients that you cannot buy over the counter. Happy, healthy skin is just a few clicks away. Now, you can get your first month for just £3.50 pharmacy fee with code GKN at checkout when it is normally £24.99 per month. You're free to reformulate your solution as your skin evolves at any time for free, but subject to dermatological assessment. Do you find, like, how do you tell people what you do when you're dating?
It's... The thing is, I think most people already know like what I'm like anyway that I go on dates with because they do their research, they look on their TikTok and stuff like that. But if I meet guys on nights out who don't know who I am, I'm like, yeah, I'm like a sex worker or whatever. Like, or I'll be like, yeah, I'm like a corn star or something. But and then you can just tell on their face what, like, you know, if they're like, oh, like, that's cool. Like, you know, tell me more. Or, you know, the best people are like, they just don't really, they're just like, oh, cool. And then they change the subject a bit. Like, they're just not, you can tell the ones that are like, oh, really? Like, what did you show on there? Like, kind of thing. And I'm like,
it's a really creepy way of saying it.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, you can subscribe if you want.
I'm not going to date you, but I'll take your money.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, like, I've dated people recently and like, they're just like super, I feel like they're more supportive of what I do now than when I was just talking about stuff on TikTok. Like, there's people that really love it, but I'm sure down the line it's going to change. I don't know. I do get worried. I don't worry, like, about trying to find, like, a husband or something when I'm older, but it's just going to definitely make it more tricky because although, like, being there's one thing being sexually liberated, there's another, like, finding someone to accept your job, and that is obviously... you know, something that a lot of men don't want to be shared with other men. So,
yeah, I think, I mean, Hannah will probably hate the fact that I'm going to bring up Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, when he was allowed on the internet.
Yeah.
And he was like, if my woman, I'm going to paraphrase because the language used was very misogynistic, but he said that if my woman decided to do adult content creation, I'm entitled to her income or 80% of her income.
No.
Do you ever worry that someone's going to be like, I'll accept you to do it?
Yeah.
But
the thing is, it's like, if I do get with someone like her and I fall in love with them, like, it's just like another job. Like, I will, like, we probably will end up, you know, you're not going to have my money, but we'll have a good life together. Like, and I do think about it. Like, the other day I was thinking, like, when I get married, like, I probably would, I don't even know if I'd do it legally or I'd probably get a prenup or something because you just don't know. Even a lot of guys, I think they've come out of the woodworks because they've realised, like, oh, she's making money now. So
we love those people.
Yeah, I'm like, bye.
It's a bit late now.
Yeah, it's a bit late now.
No, I love that. I think one thing as well that I did want to do, and this is a different... this is something new for Girls Know Nothing. So I went on to my Instagram and asked people for questions and like thoughts that they had on women's stigma on women for being sexually active or being open about being sexually active. We did get some weird ones. Some people divulging into their married sex life, which... it's a bit weird to share with a stranger on the internet, let alone to everybody else that ever watches or listens to this podcast. But we did get some really good questions. So, you know, one of them is, you know, as someone who is single and sexually active, how do you set boundaries when it comes to protection?
I mean, I just say, like, I do always carry condoms around with me. And, you know, sometimes you do get a little bit drunk and you kind of forget, like, to put something on. But if I am, you know, sober enough or I remember, I do just say, look, you have to, like, let's put a condom on. I don't want to catch anything. And if they say no, I'm like, well, that's bye. Like, you obviously don't respect my body then if you're not going to put one on. Yeah.
That's good, because I think, you know, I obviously when a lot of Roe v. Wade stuff was going on in America,
yeah,
I spoke on TikTok about stealthing.
Yes.
And that is always a weird conversation to have, because in my eyes, if you stealth somebody, that's sexual assault.
Yeah, I do. I agree, because that's, yeah, I think it's wrong. They've consented to sex in a way with you and you've taken it completely different.
Yeah, you know? Like you've not consented to how they've agreed.
Yeah.
To have sex with somebody. And yeah, so like that's always a weird conversation because I remember having debates years ago and I still have them now about actually, well, they've consented to the act. And I was like, yeah, but they've consented to the act with a condom.
Yeah. And also, you know, okay, if you do get pregnant, you've completely that, like, you've technically invaded their body.
Yeah.
You know, when they haven't given consent and now they have to go and do something which is quite traumatic just because maybe they don't want to have the child. So yeah.
Even if they do want to have the child, like, even if it's traumatic.
Even that's traumatic. Yeah, thinking about the fact that it's come from a lie and like something that's not consensual. So yeah.
I think one of the questions as well, oh my God. So there's a lot coming through. So a lot of the people that have written in that, like, a lot of the general consensus is that how do you think we can normalize masturbation for women?
Mm-hmm.
And I know obviously your adult content creation is solo.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, it's normalized.
Yeah.
But then how do we normalize it for everyone else?
It's difficult. Like, it is definitely difficult. I even remember like even a couple of years ago, I'd always talk about how much I masturbate. Like, I'd do it definitely daily, if not a couple times a day. Like, I love it. And my friends would just be like they wouldn't do it as much. It just wasn't in their daily like thing. And I think just if the more that you talk about it, it's going to be destigmatized, whether like people like it or not. And men, they might find it, you know, uncomfortable. Even some women might find it uncomfortable talking about it. But I think it's the only way to destigmatize it. Like, it's for me, it's a form of self-care. Like, yeah. I enjoy it. And you're exploring your body. And it's like, having an orgasm is like one of the most powerful experiences that you can have, I think.
I agree. And actually, yeah. I think one of the things as well is that if people don't like it or don't agree with it, I always find that sex is better when you do, because you are exploring your own body. You learn what you do and you don't like. And if you don't understand what you like by yourself, how do you expect somebody else to know how to do it? So
exactly.
Yeah, I think it's not, I don't think it should be something that's like looked down upon, because boys talk about it all the time.
Yeah. 100%, I think. And boys do it all the time as well. Like, it's, I guess it's different because you don't get an erection. So it's a bit different. So you don't feel like you have to do it, but like, it is, like, you do just become more in tune with your body. I love doing it, you know?
The thing is, though, quite a lot of boys are shameless about doing it.
Yeah.
I went to a festival and we went glamping and a boy had quite clearly done it in the shower and left evidence that he'd done it in the shower. At a festival. So, like, if they're that shameless about it, like, we should be shameless about it as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. I mean, like, on my adult content site, like, a lot of people there will be like, yeah, I'm just in the toilets at work, like, doing it. And I'm just like, okay. I'd be like, I could never, I mean, I wouldn't really get that urge to do that, but you know, whatever fits your boat, you know?
Yeah, I've never sat at a desk in any of my jobs and thought, you know what I really want to do right now? Go to the toilet and do that. So
that's shameless. And yeah, maybe we should get to that point where we are shameless. I don't know.
We're not encouraging people to do it at work.
Don't do that.
Like, that kind of level.
Yeah.
I think... Okay, so one person said, how did you unlearn the concept that we are a possession that men earn?
It's a hard one, because when I used to have sex, like a good couple of years ago, I think I was having sex for all the wrong reasons. It was for validation, because I hadn't really had that in a guy before. Like, I didn't really have a father figure, which is like the whole...
Daddy issues
thing. And I was looking for that in a man. And the way I thought you get that is through validation. But I think once I started to look at sex in a different way, like, I'm having sex for myself, like, I'm enjoying it. I think that's how I kind of unlearn that I'm not your possession. And I think from self-love as well, like, if you grow to love yourself, like, you just automatically see that you are not anybody else's possession other than your own, like, not your parents, nobody. And you only get that through self-love and like being independent, I think. I think it's the only way to unlearn it, because it's still a huge thing in society, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's about realizing that you choose who you have sex with.
Oh, yeah.
And it should be out for your enjoyment as opposed to for their enjoyment. And I think that's something that we all need to learn.
Yeah.
Because we all, like, in adult content, it's adult content, so majority of the time, is made for male viewers. Mm. And then when we consume that content, that kind of content, it makes you think that, well, actually, my purpose or that organ's purpose is to please them and not for myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess when you say, like, when you look at the reasons why you're having sex and maybe that, like, changes your outlook.
Definitely.
I'm going to skip some of these personal, very personal questions. One of the ones that I really want to discuss is opinions on sex on the first date.
Yes. So I personally usually have sex on the first date if I like the person. I think a lot of girls, you know, and each to their own, will, you know, hold out till maybe a third date, even though if they wanted to have sex with the girl on the first date, they'd hold out to the third or fourth date just because they hope that they'll gain respect from the man. And I think, you know, a man knows on a first date whether they're just going to have sex with you or whether they like you for you, I think. So either you have sex with them on the first date or you create an emotional attachment with them on the third date and then they ghost you then anyway. And then you hurt more. And also, like, try before you buy. And my respects does not come from anybody else other than mine. Like, yeah. I don't get any self-respect from waiting to have sex with you. Like, it comes from myself. So if I want to have sex with you, I will, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's weird. So, like, I was saying to you that I'd seen a man on TikTok talk about how if she doesn't have sex with you on the first date, I mean, it's wrong because everybody's boundaries are different, but how if she doesn't have sex with you on the first date, she doesn't like you as much as you think she does by waiting. And then lots of men were saying, well, actually, she considers you as long-term material if she doesn't have sex with you on the first date. But, you know, I said to you, my ex-boyfriend and I were together for 3.5 years. Mm. We slept together on the first date.
Yeah. Same with me, as me, with, like, all my exes or people that I've seen, like, seriously. I've always slept with them on the first... Basically, always slept with them on the first date. Like, sometimes it will just be, like, a one-night stand that's just turned into something. So... yeah, I don't agree with that. I feel like, I feel like just if you want to have sex, have sex. Like, don't worry about the respects. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, don't sense. Like seek validation from somebody else.
Don't seek the validation. Like, yeah.
Lots of people talking about my shoes, which is not helpful. Like, really not appropriate. So this is actually from somebody that we mutually follow each other, and they talk about a lot of, like, sex and relationships on their Instagram. If a guy doesn't want to give oral but wants to receive it, do you think he's a prick or do you think he's setting sexual boundaries?
I think that he is setting a boundary, but, you know, if oral is big to you, then you can set that boundary as well and be like, me and you are not compatible. You said that as well. Like, yeah. I just think, like, for me, I don't know if it's just because I haven't really been with many people yet where I actually enjoy it. I feel like I really need to feel comfortable with somebody to let them go down there. I don't know why. So for me, at the start, it's not as much as a big thing. But I think, like, one of my exes, he would never do it, and it did really piss me off. So, but I would always give it to him. So, yeah, I don't think they're massively being a prick. They're being a prick if when you turn around and say, well, I don't want to give you oral, or, you know, me and you, we're not compatible then. And then if they turn around and they've got a problem with it, then they're being a prick. But, you know, for example, if I, for some reason, didn't like going down on a guy, they have to respect that boundary as well. Like, it goes both ways.
No, I definitely agree with you. I think if that person said that to me, I'd be like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I respect your boundary, but we're not sexually compatible, and therefore it's just, let's just leave it at that.
Exactly.
So I think it is, it's hard, because I think we see a lot of content that's like, you should just give it, like, grow up. And I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, like, some people, it's not just like, some people don't like certain positions, things like that. And if it's something that the other person likes, then you guys just aren't compatible. And I don't think, I don't think it should be.
Yeah. Can't really hold that against the
exactly,
other person.
Exactly, yeah. Like,
okay, cool. So I always, you've probably, if you've watched the podcast, yeah, you will know the final question. So I always ask people, what would you say to somebody in your past or in the future that doubts your success based on your gender?
Oh God, I just thought about this one.
you knew it was coming, so.
I know. I've just been like wrestling with it. Okay, what would I say if someone doubted my gender? I would say,
you don't have to worry about not being vulgar, by the way, because yeah, Izzy was like,
I would say, maybe try having pussy for a day. Like, try having pussy for a day and we'll see.
Yeah, it's difficult, but yeah, once you've figured it out, it's great.
Yeah.
No, that's fair enough. But, you know, I think a lot of people that have reached out to me wanting to talk about sex will find this episode really liberating. Mm. And, you know, I applaud you for being so open, because then it helps encourage prim and proper people like me to also be open about it.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for being a guest on my podcast. No,
thank you so much. Thank you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.